Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 6, and we will continue there. Last week we didn't get too far, but it was a discussion about verse 2 especially, where it says, "The sons of God saw that there were daughters of men and that they were fair." And our discussion about the sons of men, different ideas that individuals have about who this is talking about specifically. We covered some of those. We're going to talk about again, because it mentions again a few verses later. Again, I bring up this because it's here, but again, Scripture doesn't give us, it's vague at best. As to what this means. Therefore, there's a reason it's there, but I guess I keep coming back to, if God wanted us to know all the individual specific details, he would have given them to us. But anyhow, so we talked about those different theories. As we continue on in verse 2, we see the last statement in that verse, which we didn't cover last week, but that's next, and it says, "And they took themselves wives, all of which they chose." Interesting statement here. As you read this, you almost get the idea that if they took wives, all of which they chose, that maybe there was a lot of things going on that shouldn't have been as far as one husband, one wife. If they took all that they chose, that might have been, there's a lot of polygamy going on, or maybe it wasn't even marriage. Maybe it was like we see people, you know, living together today and, you know, moving from partner to partner. At any rate, we see this in here. It's interesting that we see in the next verse, God says, "And my spirit will not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." What's the striving between God's spirit and man at this point in time? Is there strife there? Is there conflict? We know that because when we get to verse 5 in a few minutes, it's going to say that the earth was pretty much evil, right? And there is strife between good and evil, between God, who is pure and perfect and good, and man's sinful nature that basically looked like it ran wild in these verses. So, yes, God's spirit is striving with man, and it says, "I'm not always going to strive with man." And then there's another statement down here, "The day shall be, or yet his day shall be 120 years. Some people think that this 120 years is going to be man's lifespan. It's interesting, as we looked at the lifespan of individuals at this point in time, they were closer to 900 years than they were 120 years.
Have they determined what a year is in that historical era?
Well, we're assuming that a year is a year.
Well,
well, you mean as far as people living 900 years? Well, it does seem to be beyond comprehension as far as we're concerned, but Adam was created as a perfect man, right? So as, yes?
Prior to Adam, are fixing this, I'm thinking, you know, there's the AD and the BC before Christ.
Right. Okay. I know, and it's interesting, but I have to go back to, how do they determine that it's 500 million years old? The process that they're using is carbon dating, right? For most parts. And they use that process in the way things evolve now, the way the earth has worked since the flood, and they date using that process, but they don't take into account the flood or anything else that's taken place as far as catastrophic events in their dating. So I would call to question their process of dating those materials. And okay. Right. So, but then, so the days are not days and the weeks are not weeks. See, what I'm saying, if you go to say the year is not the year, or even the Jewish calendar, which is slightly different than ours, but still relatively close to a year's period of time, if you say the year isn't a year, well, then a month isn't a month and a day isn't a day. Yeah.
Compared to others prior to.
Right.
And I think sometimes I always thought maybe the biblical scholars have ventured off the plantation mathematically and not allowed for the time that actually there was. You know, the sun rises and the sun goes down, you know, in a 24-hour cycle, we go to 12-12. But I get confused when I look at these graphs and I'm thinking something is wrong here.
Yeah. Go ahead, Doug, then Pastor, and then Andrew. Go ahead.
One of the things is most things are carbon dated because they have to have carbon, so they have to have lead.
Yeah.
How they do most things is the layering aging by a layer of rock, which can't be carbon dated.
Okay.
So if it's something that's found in a certain layer, and they think this is a universal all over the world, this layering, and it ain't. And so when they place something in that layer, they say this is the 100 million layer. And if it's found there, it's 100 million years old. So they don't hardly use carbon dating.
Oh, okay.
They use the rock layer theory, and that's not proven at all.
Right. Okay.
And that can shift and change with earthquakes. And
okay.
And they found trees, roots growing down through layers. So that means the tree is millions of years old because they found it in different roots and different layers.
Right.
Science has made stuff up to be millions of years old.
Okay.
So, and the man in Norway wasn't millions of years old. He was only thousands, like 5,000, 6,000.
Yeah.
Because his skin, they could see tattoos on his skin and everything. And so that wasn't millions of years old. That was just thousands.
Okay. Pastor?
There's always a conflict. Science is telling us and what God is telling us, because science has a whole different basis of determining their facts. They're out to discredit the Bible with what they're saying. They come up with these hundreds of millions of years old, and what do we say? It cannot be so, because we only see the earth as 6,000-7,000 years old. And man says, well, you know, because of our testing and because of our dating processes, it's got to be this. Mike, I say, trust the Bible and not man. I say, when the Bible says that Methuselah lived 969 years old, that's what God meant. And after the flood, God drastically shortened the age of mankind. You don't have, after the flood, anybody living hundreds and hundreds of years old. And when they find these things and they say, oh, look, you know, here's this bone, and it's, no, everything is, it fits in the framework of that 6,000-year window, and how do we reconcile this? We reconcile it that man is wrong and God is right.
Okay, Andrew? Right. Right. That's kind of what I meant. They worked science off of the way things work now, which is not the way things worked then, or even
100 years from like this point to 100 years back, and they use that age.
Right. Right, and we know that the earth is different now than it was then. And if you don't take into account the flood and the fact that a tree could have been buried in several different layers because it was buried upright, and therefore the tree isn't necessarily millions of years old, it just, according in the flood, that could have happened. But they don't take into account the flood or that drastic change in the earth into their processes.
Which you also have to look at is, if dinosaurs came millions of years before Adam, the Bible says death came because of sin. How could millions of animals for millions of years be dying when the Bible says death did not come about until sin? And so if Adam came 100 million years after all this dying, I mean, that makes the Bible wrong. So you either got to believe the Bible or you got to believe man.
Yeah. Pastor.
These layers that science puts so much trust in, we know where they came from. God totally covered the earth with water.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that sediment began to settle as the waters receded. There's the answer where all of these layers came from. But science, oh, we don't believe that. That's where we said, we believe what God said.
Mm-hmm.
The earth was totally covered. So how do they explain seashells up on top of the highest mountains in the world? It's because there was a worldwide flood that science refuses to
accept.
Yeah. Existed. There you go. There's how. And they are putting millions of years of designation on these different colored layers or different rock formations or whatever the substance is. Well, guess what? That's how God formed it as the waters were receding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful the Lord knows the answer. And man is guesstimating
at best, yeah. Yeah. Stuart, was there something you wanted to add? It's got what?
And God does not
exist. Yes, yes.
Start with that.
Yeah.
And they never say, oh, could the seashell be explained by the flood? Or could the flood have done this? They never do anything like that. And they say, what do I see in the last 100 years? And let me apply that back. How long would it take this mountain to form?
Yeah.
Everything was exactly like I see it right now.
Right.
Catastrophic events are not even taken into account.
Yeah.
Nor is the possibility.
Right. So if, and here's a physical example. If you take two points and line them up, if I have a point at the front of the auditorium and the back of the auditorium and put a line between those two points and say, okay, there's a straight line. And now I go up to the front of the auditorium at my first point and say, okay, on this line, I'm going to hold my finger. If my finger is off because of the short distance, a quarter of an inch, how far off I'm going to be when I get to the end? And that's what man starts with, is a presupposition that this is how things always were, and I'm going to span that back millions of years. Well, you're off of the mark, way off, because you're off slightly up here, because the earth doesn't work the same way as it does, right? We understand that. The earth, like individuals, like mankind, we're dying, right?
It's constantly changing.
Constantly. And so you can't necessarily take, like you say, the first last 100 or 200 years and apply that back by millions of years because you're way off the mark. Go ahead.
One last thing. My dad used to give me National Geographic. I finally had to tell him, quit. Give me that subscription because it's a waste of time. But every dinosaurs, fossils are rare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time you read a story about these dinosaurs being found, they always die either by a river or a big lake. They're always dying by water, and it's like, because it was the flood. Not a
yeah.
big river or a
yeah.
big lake. It was, and so, but every single time, they say there could no way be a flood.
Yeah. Because if you admit that there is a universal flood, then you have to accept the biblical account because that's the account we have. And if you accept that, now you have to reconcile everything else that's in Scripture. And as soon as you start doing that, now, well, yeah, as far as they're concerned, because now I have to justify everything in Scripture instead of just discounting it and putting it aside and not having to accept it or deal with the truth that's there. So... go ahead.
And about the ages of people, I guess, you mentioned genetics, and we know every so often, right, as we look at generations, there are errors that accumulate.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we have cancers and all sorts of diseases now, but Adam was perfect. We also, from Genesis, right, the earth was created with, I think you mentioned this earlier, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Water,
yep.
Protected against
from radiation, yeah.
Of our
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yeah. It. Go ahead.
I just noticed in the commentary in my Bible that 120 years is not necessarily life of man. The flood was 120 years after that.
Well, that's where I was getting in a second here. Yeah.
And so he had 120 years to get that ark built.
Yeah. So, okay. So there's the 120 years that's listed here. let's keep going. Here we go again. And it says, there were giants in the earth in those days. Giants in the earth. My goodness. What does that mean? Well, this same word, giants, happens to be the same word that's used in Numbers chapter 13 when they were going into the land of Canaan and they saw the Anakins and they called them what? They called them giants. They use that as this exact same word. There's giants in the land. What did they mean then? Did they mean that those people were 9, 12, 15 feet tall? Compared to us, we look like grasshoppers. It does say that, because I just read it. It says we're like grasshoppers. Okay, so I don't want to get off this topic too far, but what would be a giant to you? Somebody that's...
somebody's basketball.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Anybody ever realize the size of Shaquille O'Neal? I mean, everybody knows he's a basketball player. Compared to me, that man is a giant. Other basketball players or individuals. So, yes, they're a giant. It could be that they were great individuals, but before we get fixated on the word giants, the word also can mean those who have fallen or fallen ones, or those who fall upon. Now, if you fall upon somebody, that means that you're attacking them, right? If you're someone who falls upon another individual, then you're overcoming them or attacking them. The word can also mean a bully or a tyrant. So before we get fixated on that this has got to mean giant of individuals, we have to realize that this giant that's mentioned here can also mean maybe giant in character or in attitude or actions, that they could have been tyrants. What? Could have been. So let's not get fixated on that, because as we talked about the sons of God, some individuals believe that because this giants is mentioned here, that the giants were the sons of the commingling of angels with human women, and that was the offspring, were giants. That's their theory based on what they read here. It's interesting to me that, is, let's look at the verse, and it says, and there were giants in the earth in those days. Okay, that means there were, if you're taking it as individuals that were extremely large, okay, there was large individuals in those days. What are the next three or four words there? It says what? And also after that, there seems to be a separation between the statement about giants and the next statement that's coming along, right? And also after that is a separation, right? If I say, I went to the store this morning, and also after that, I came to church. It doesn't mean that the two are interrelated. In those days, right.
And also after that.
Right, and also after that. So in
the giants existed in those days and also existed after that.
Right, exactly. But those giants existed, according to this, before the next statement, right? In other words, there's a separation of the two statements. It's not.
Can't that mean that the giants were in those days?
Right.
And also after that.
After that what? Right.
It wasn't because of that.
Right. What I'm saying is, you see what the next phrase is? It says, and also after that. And then what did it say? When the sons of God came into unto the daughters of men, and they bare children. Okay, see that statement there?
Right.
And then the phrase that's between the two. What I'm saying is, there are, and I mentioned that, there are those who say that the giants that's mentioned here were the sons of supposedly the angels coming down and marrying and having relations with human women, and their offspring were giants. But I see a separation between the statement, there were giants.
Okay, but what's your explanation for why that's there at all?
Why, the giants? Okay, there could have been. Right, right. Does that mean that the sons that were born to the sons of God and the daughters of men were those giants?
Well, what's the next two sentences, so
isn't that a semicolon?
Huh?
I have forgotten all my English because I'm American. I speak American.
Yeah.
Over the comma. So it separates two separate, she says it separates two separate statements.
Right.
So we're separating that now, the giants.
Yeah.
From after that. Now
no,
after
no, two
that.
Two separate sentences that are related to each other. Not
I don't.
You don't use a semicolon for unrelated sentences. Right?
Okay.
But the semicolon is added by the translator anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay. So my point is, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, because yes, the statement is there. I see a separation between the two. Some don't. It says that those they bear children to them, the same became mighty men. It doesn't say giants. It says mighty men and men of renown, which is interesting that men of renown here, this particular word, means of reputation or fame or glory. Reputation or fame or glory as far as what? Well, what's the next verse? What's verse 5? It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." I guess if they're men of renown in that time frame, they had been well known for their evil acts, because God saw that mankind was evil and all of his thoughts were evil continually. This gives us a picture of the state of mankind at this point in time.
Why are we willing to connect those two sentences but not the previous two?
Willing to what? Connect what two sentences? It says, "To them, and they bear children, to them the same became men which were of old men of renown."
Right, but then you said, what does renown mean? And the next verse says, "And saw the wickedness of the man was great in the earth."
Okay.
So we're connecting men of renown, mighty men, with wickedness?
Yeah.
Well, why are we not doing the same with giants and daughters of men?
Because I see a statement in the middle that says they're separate. Because after these things, whether you want to put the two together or not, again, doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I'm just saying there's some confusion here. I don't see specific details that link them. You may, that's fine. You may not, that's fine. What I don't see is a clear description that we can say this is exactly what this is. At any rate, the interpretation of sons of God and what actually took place here is up for debate, no matter how you look at it. If it's up for debate, then it's not clear, and it's not clear because God has not given us specific details. Nowhere do you find in Scripture that I find where it explains this in detail so we know specifically what it means. What's that say to me? It's there for a reason. I don't know why. How important is it that I spend my time trying to dig into find specifically what this is talking about? I talked to Doug yesterday. Individuals spend their lifetime learning about the book of Revelation, and they spend years studying Revelation. And there's nothing wrong with studying Scripture, but how much of that time could be better used for what God has told us we're supposed to be doing here on earth instead of spending time looking at all the little minor details that maybe aren't as important in our lives? So I know this information is here. I know people like to spend a lot of time looking at it, but I don't want to get bogged down in class because there's a more important things to talk about than the little details of.
Yeah, it takes away from the bigger thing.
Right.
I think what's happening here is some of us are seeing that and also after. I think Stuart's seeing that as the giants were also after.
Right.
We're seeing it as also after the giants, then this other thing.
Yeah.
And it's like a comma saved grandma. Let's eat grandma. Let's eat grandma. And so, yeah, it's a wording. I think we're seeing it two different ways.
Yeah.
Stuart is seeing it one way. I can see the way Stuart's
yeah.
seeing it, but I also see it another way. And so I think it's just how we're seeing that statement.
Right, right. And again, I'm not trying to say that one way is, I can dogmatically say that this is the truth or that is the truth. I don't see any clear indication in Scripture one way or the other. So now we base our interpretation on what we think it says or how we think it applies. But again, I want to come back to the fact that I don't want to spend too much time on details that in the long run, to me, I don't see as that important, because if they were that important, then God would have given us more detail as far as what we need to spend time on. So But we do know, yes. Right, right. Right, yeah. No matter how you interpret these few phrases in here, we know that verse 5 says, and God saw that they were evil. And something was going to take place. So no matter how you interpret those last few verses that we've been through, we understand the situation of mankind at this point. It says, and it repented, verse 6. It says, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. Sometimes we think, man, that describes the earth today. So we're back to where mankind is back to where he was however many thousands of years ago. Congratulations, mankind. You've improved over the years, haven't you?
If we don't learn from it, we repeat it.
Yeah. So, verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. We look at repented. When we see the word repented, we look at it and say, if I repent of something, I'm sorry that I did something, right? That's how we see that word. Is God really sorry that he did something? Now, here's the buzzer again, just when we get to this point. Saved by the bell. We'll talk about this this week or next week. Does this mean that God was sorry at what he did and changed his mind and changed his plan? Think about that, and we'll talk about that next week. Okay, Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.